WPAO. Today's Christian music for the Valley. AM 1470 WPAO. Farrell, Youngstown.
Evening, January the 30th. Hi, I'm Jim Cunningham, your host, along with Pastor Gary Roy, my co-host, and this is Issues and Answers, a Biblical Perspective. Our topic this evening is the Mark of the Beast. What is it?
This is Pastor Gary Roy with our host, Jim Cunningham, Issues and Answers, a Biblical Perspective, with the Mark of the Beast, 666. What does it mean in our world today?
Amen, and we invite you to participate with us this evening on this issue. I'm sure that a number of people, if not all people that I frequent with, are familiar with the term Mark of the Beast. And they also know that the number usually is affiliated with that is 666. Even unbelievers are familiar with it. Many people are very sensitive about receiving any marks on their hand or on their forehead for anything. They take it very seriously. Some people are superstitious about it. And nevertheless, the scripture talks about a day in the future where people will be marked with a mark in the forehead or on their right hand, to allow them to participate in commerce and to be allowed to live a relatively life of ease. So we invite you to call us this evening and make comment on what you think the Mark of the Beast is. We're going to cover a few possible candidates for that this evening, and we'll run some short audio clips on different viewpoints on that. And we just encourage you to call us and let us know what you think the Mark of the Beast is and whether you're going to have to be concerned about it. Will the people in this country have to be concerned about such an issue? The phone number to call us is 448-5061. If you're out of the area, it's 1-330-448-5061. Again, if you just joined us, my name is Jim Cunningham. I'm the host of Issues and Answers, along with Pastor Gary Roy of the First Assembly of God in Vienna. He's my co-host, and we just invite you to join us this evening as we talk about the Mark of the Beast. And so we're going to get right into it right up front this evening and talk about that a little bit, and we're going to go to our point of reference that basically brings that issue to our awareness, and it's found in Revelation chapter 13, and I'm going to read that text for you, and then we'll make some commentary around that issue, around those statements. And it's found in Revelation 13:1, beginning of in the NIV, and it reads this way: "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and each head had a blasphemous name." Now, this is the description of a political force that's going to dwell on the earth in the end of the age, and people believe that that is very well developed at this time, and they believe it has something to do with what's developing in Europe. And there are some other viewpoints on that, that there are people that are concerned that under the UN's auspices, the world is now being segmented up into 10 regions in the world, and they see that also as a possible fulfillment of this beast with 10 heads. Not only the 10 nations in Europe that are going to eventually rule and control, but also possibly something under the control of the UN, where there'll be 10 regions, political regions around the globe that involves all countries. And some people believe that that has been drafted and put into place and is going to be implemented sometime in the future when some crisis takes place, to where they will create a one-world order or a one-world government. And in verse 2 it goes on and says, "The beast I saw resembled a leopard but had the feet like those of a bear and mouth like that of a lion," basically giving symbolic gesture again as to the what this force will be able to do. And it says, "One of the heads seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed." Verse 3, "The whole world was astonished and followed the beast." So something is going to happen dramatic to where it's going to astonish the entire population of the planet as they consider this new political power that's going to come into being in the very near future if we understand biblical prophecy correctly. In verse 4, it talks about men will worship the dragon because this dragon gives authority to the beast, and they also worship the beast. And they say, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them, and he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Verse 8, all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Revelations 13:10. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. There'll be some group of people here that represent Jesus Christ. Most people think the church won't be here during that time, and that might be rightly so, but nevertheless, some group of people called saints are going to have to stand up to this new political process and the spiritual beings that manifest their abilities here on earth. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And most people think this represents some kind of a religious power that's going to work in concert with the political power. He exercises all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship. He made them worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. This individual that had been wounded in the head, apparently killed, something on the order of what happened to John Kennedy, is somehow genetically cloned or brought back to life, and a form is created in exact representation of him or her, and this individual comes back to life, and people are astonished by it. And it says, this individual will perform great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven in full view of for men to see. Because of the signs he was given to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And so here's where the part we want to focus on this evening. This individual, he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast. Now, we're hearing a lot about cloning today, and people are very concerned about it. President Clinton has come out and made his thoughts known about cloning, and the British have come out and made their thoughts known about cloning, and they're very concerned that this newfound science could be developed in a detrimental way, and they're considering options on how to deal with it. But nevertheless, during this time of the tribulation, it appears that cloning is going to be allowed to be functional because this individual that's shot in the head is somehow, they make an image of him, it comes to life, and it speaks. And here's what it basically does. It forces, he said he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or in his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Then it says, now this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the a man's number. His number is 666. And as I said earlier, almost everyone is familiar with the term 666. Even people that are agnostics know about it. When you bring up the subject, people immediately go to that, and it says we're going to have wisdom to understand it and know what it's all about. So tonight we're going to get into some of the different, again, candidates of what is the mark of the beast. What do you think the mark of the beast is? Would you like to be one of our first callers this evening and let us know what you think the mark of the beast is? You can call us at 448-5061, or if you're out of the area, it's 1-330-448-5061, and we just encourage you to jump in here and share with us. We have a few more weeks left in our contract, and we would love to get into a discourse with individuals over some of the subjects that we have been attempting to address. We're trying to raise the awareness on what's going on in areas of eschatology that maybe individuals haven't thought about up to this time. And we just invite you to join us this evening and share your viewpoints. You don't have to be in agreement with what we're saying. We just would love to hear from you, and that gives us a chance to work off what you say, and you can work off what we say, and we can bring this thing out into the open and have people talk about it and hopefully bring some good out of it. So we just invite you to call us. Again, I am Jim Cunningham, along with my co-host, Pastor Gary Roy, and we're just here talking about the Mark of the Beast. One of the first things I want to do this evening is go to a clip that talks about a marking system that could be implemented upon mankind, and it's done by Terry Cook. He's a well-known biblical eschatologist, end-time type preacher who is very much aware of what's going on in different realms that could be used to mark mankind into a system that we may not find beneficial in the end. So listen to what Terry Cook has to say about what he thinks the Mark of the Beast could be.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
A new world order.
New world order.
A new world order.
World order.
Is there a plan to inject a computer chip in everyone on planet Earth to track, to identify, and to control their lives? We'd like to welcome you to the program, No ID Found. Here to tell us about all the technology that is soon to come upon us is Terry Cook from California. Terry, we'd love to welcome you to the program.
Praise God, Dale. I'm glad to be back today. Thank you very much.
Well, tell us.
There is a plan.
Is there a new world order?
There's a new world order.
Is there a new religion coming?
A new religion's coming. There's a new economic system coming. And indeed, there is a plan to number every person on the earth by means of injecting under their skin in either their right hand or their forehead a microchip such as the ones we're holding in our hands as displayed in these plastic boxes. And this is the scanner to read the ID chip with a radio wave. We're going to get into a lot more details a little bit further into the program, Del, but let's share with people briefly the concept that there is a whole new infrastructure, a whole new plan, a whole new system of identification that's coming that government documentation reveals will be in place no later than the year 2000. Next logical progression is to inject that thing under your skin.
Somewhere on your body.
That's right.
He causes both rich and poor, small and great, those that are in prison, those that are free, to receive a mark. Everyone.
In their right hand or in their forehead if they're missing their hand.
This is it. It's on us.
And no one will buy or sell. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18 talks about the Antichrist New World Order form of enslavement that's coming.
Coming up next is the InfoPet roll-in. It's going to tell you a lot about how they're going to identify pets with a computer chip implant. We'll be right back.
In the world of microelectronics, high technology has offered to pet owners many great advancements in animal care. Electronic identification of pets using the microchip system provides a solution to the very grave concern facing many animal owners today: the need to recover a lost pet. InfoPet is a safe and proven product which will solve this problem. It will replace and render obsolete all other forms of identification, and it is permanent and unique to each pet.
Almelo, Holland, one of 50 Texas Instruments plants worldwide. This one was established over 30 years ago and specializes in electronic and electromechanical components for the appliance and automotive industries. Other TI factories design and make integrated circuits, computer systems, industrial controls, defense equipment, and consumer products, all adding up to a $6 billion company at the forefront of technology. One of the ways that we keep ahead is by transporting the skills we have learnt in one business area and applying them in others, which has led TI in Holland and Germany to develop TARIS, an electronic system for the identification of livestock. A system which is virtually foolproof and which will go on working throughout the lifetime of any farm animal. Current systems rely on ear tagging or other external means of identification and suffer a high percentage of loss. TARIS uses an implanted transponder which, unlike conventional ear tags and collars, cannot be lost. But until now, implantable, battery-free devices have not been able to communicate over a usable distance. Texas Instruments' low-cost TARIS transponder has no batteries, is easily implanted, and gives a range of up to 50 centimeters with a portable, handheld readout unit, or up to twice that distance with a stationary detection gate. This breakthrough is achieved by use of a sophisticated data transmission system, similar to frequency modulation FM broadcasting. The system is based on a... The result is a transponder just 29 millimeters by 3.6 millimeters in diameter. It's encapsulated in an inert biomedical plastic, which does not migrate and causes no adverse reaction in living tissue. TARIS can also be supplied in ear tag or collar versions, if required.
Logical progression
exactly.
From the smart card is a microchip implant under the skin. It has to come. It's the only logical way to avoid theft, to avoid fraud, to avoid losing things. It's the only way to go. I mean, it just has to happen, is what he says.
Well, the times are on us, aren't they?
Yes. Now, it's interesting that the Bible spoke 2,000 years ago about a vision that John had, whereby no one would buy or sell anything without a mark of some kind in their right hand or in their forehead. It's interesting that that was written in 96 AD, right, Del?
Yes.
And we have about 1,900 years later, we have an article in a newspaper in the San Francisco area, the Marin Independent Journal, April 2, 1989, and the title of it is Future Shocker Biochip. That's what we're talking about here, these implantable computer chips. It's a biochip transponder. And here's what they say. Don't reach for your wallet at the checkout counter, because after your food items have been bagged, tallied, and purchased, you will simply in the future scan your hand, which has a biochip in it, and debit your account. They say, is this impossible? Is it the plot of a science fiction novel? It says, hardly. It's here now. Now, this was in 1989 when they started implanting animals with microchips. Since then, things have really progressed. They're everywhere now. But what's really interesting, and I find really prophetic here, is the fact that this article began to discuss exactly what John said nearly 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelation. Listen to this. Conceivably, a number could be assigned at birth and go with that person throughout life. And most likely, he added, it would be implanted on the back of the right or left hand for convenience, so it would be easy to scan the stores. Do you realize how prophetic that is?
Yes,
we have a secular newspaper talking about implanting a purchasing device in the back of the right or left hand. Now, of course, God says it's going to go on the right hand. They're speculating about which hand it's going to go in. They say, well, it's going to go in a hand. It has to go in the hand. We're just not sure which one it's going to go in. Well, we know it's going to go on the right hand because the Bible says so.
Okay, we're back. And believe it or not, we had our first call while we were doing that little clip, and we appreciate it. I apologize for having to let the caller go, but she called and said she's been listening faithfully over the last few weeks, and she just wants us to know she's there, and we really appreciate it. That's nice to know. But she had a question for us, and the question is this. Do we believe that the church is going to be raptured out before the mark of the beast is implemented? And I'm going to turn to my co-host at this time and put Gary on the spot and let him share his views on it. I have views on it. And we'll just see how what kind of agreement we can find on this concept. So I'm going to ask Pastor Gary to respond to that or anything else he's heard up to this time. You heard him say in the clip that there's a biochip that they have created to put under the skin of animals so they can track them. Now they're talking about even doing, they have a wafer-sized device that they can put under the skin for children and for humans if they so need. We even have a little piece of news here where the military is already working with this biochip, putting it under the skin, and they're basically experimenting with that. And so we would encourage you to call us and let us know what you think about what you've heard. Again, we appreciate the first call. Sorry we couldn't get you up and live on the air at this point, but call back again later. We'll try to do that. So anyhow, the biochip is with us. There is a marking technique that they're using on animals. People believe it could be brought into the human element. Is that the mark of the beast, or is it something else? Could it be computers and the barcodes, and perhaps Pastor Gary will get into that a little bit, or could it be something to do with genetic engineering, which I'm going to get into a little bit, because I believe that's where it's going. Genetic engineering very possibly is the mark of the beast. So if we have struck your curiosity with any of that, or if you have a view already, you've got your mind made up that you think you know what the mark of the beast is, call and let us know. Right now, Pastor Gary's going to come. He's going to share some views on what he's heard up to this point and perhaps respond to the question that we just received from this young lady.
Jim, there are a number of different views on when the rapture is going to take place, and the majority of Christianity believes, or at least one school of thought, is that there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, that the tribulation will take place after the rapture, or the rapture will kind of be the event that lets these things begin. Let me read to you 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, the 7th verse, tells us, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And the one that is the restrainer is talking about the Holy Spirit. Just like in the Old Testament, that Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah was a type of restrainer. And until he was taken out of the way, until he left Sodom and Gomorrah was not destroyed, although it was marked for destruction. And my personal belief is that the tribulation will not take place until the Holy Spirit is taken away. It's also a type of the church. And I don't believe that God has targeted his church, his bride, for his wrath, and we must realize that the tribulation period is the wrath of God being poured out without measure on the earth.
Okay, I hope that answers your question, and we appreciate again your calling and asking that. My personal position on this, and you've heard what Pastor Gary said, and that is a desirable position to take. I tend to be cautious and tend to see that Scripture does imply that someone is going to be here during the tribulation period to have to deal with the Antichrist and the false prophet and all of that. They're called saints. They're no longer referred to as the church. They're called saints. And many people believe that's basically where Israel, once again, is going to have to go through another assault once they've had their eyes open to the fact that they went into a peace agreement with the individual we now know as the Antichrist. I personally believe the best position for a Christian to take on this issue is to prepare yourself for the worst-case scenario. If I am ready, for example, for a post-tribulation rapture experience, I will qualify for the pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, or whenever the rapture takes place. And I'm afraid today that we have got so comfortable in America living on the promise that we're not going to have any harm come our way, that if it does, it will cause a great falling away. And that's in this country and around the world, it could happen that way. And that's what 2 Thessalonians, which much of my material is based on, the great falling away of the end times, that I think that that could happen if we find ourselves in a tribulation-style type experience in this country especially. We are not very strong, even though we think we are as a church in this country. We are still on pablum in many ways. We are not deep in the Lord. We're not walking with the Lord like we should be. We don't have much spiritual depth or interest in God. For some reason this week, this one scripture has been burning in my heart, and it's in Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about that God, basically, he says he is a rewarder of them, first of all, who believe in him, believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So little effort is really put into seeking the Lord by most of us. We are so busy with the daily routines that God gets allocated about 10 minutes out of our day. And you can't seek someone with your whole heart 10 minutes out of a day. You've got to somehow find a better way to have an open rapport, constant rapport with our Heavenly Father. So I think we need to develop spiritually and become deeper and stronger and be ready. And I know persecution will bring that about. Persecution will bring us closer to God. We live in Easy Street. We don't have any real threats hanging over our head at this time. But that could change very soon if certain things take place, which biblical prophecy seems to imply. So with that, I ask you if you have a response. You heard what Pastor Gary said. You've heard what I say. Maybe you have a different view on it. Maybe you feel that the tribulation's already taken place. There are people that believe the tribulation's been going on for 2,000 years, and they sincerely believe that. And then there's the other group that believes basically that is still a future event. If you go into China and some of the other quarters of the earth today, the church there could probably believe they are in tribulation period. They are being greatly mistreated for just representing and talking and believing in Jesus Christ. In America, still, we have the freedom to openly talk about it, even though there are some limits on us in this nation, but nothing compared to other places. So with that, we're going to go to another clip and talk about another possible candidate for the Mark of the Beast. And I'm not sure we got the right tape cue, so if we hit it wrong, we'll come back and hit the other one. But I got lost in all this conversation here, and I don't know where I'm at. So we're going to cue up on this tape, and hopefully it's going to talk about another aspect of the Mark of the Beast.
What if you could see into the future? That is the promise of genetic research. Genetic testing may open the door to whole new vistas of preventive medicine through the accurate prediction of disease. It will be new information with great potential for human good, but its power may also prove a challenge to control, as some communities have already found out. Ruth Ricker is the past president of the Little People of America, an advocacy group for dwarves and their families. While the members' opinions are not unanimous, to some, the danger of genetic testing is clear.
We have these concerns that eugenics may become more institutionalized and more ingrained in our society as an accepted medical and social kind of practice.
Eugenics, a branch of early 20th century science that aimed to breed the perfect race and eliminate those traits judged undesirable. In the U.S., it was used to justify forced sterilizations for a variety of conditions, including retardation, epilepsy, drug addiction, and physical disability. In Nazi Germany, the practice of eugenics reached its peak and resulted in the deaths of millions. It may seem an extreme comparison, but as the technology of genetic testing improves, the likelihood of testing for a wide range of conditions grows. For many dwarfs, the end result is self-evident.
Some of the most emphatic and heartfelt expressions in our discussions about this have been from short-statured adults that are thinking back to conversations they've had with their families and so forth, that realizing now, if this technology had been available to their parents 30, 40 years ago, that they probably wouldn't be alive at this time.
Like Pandora's box or the discovery of atomic power, there is no turning back. The future of genetics holds great promise for easing suffering and improving the human condition.
Okay, that concludes the track meet for this year. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
But what if you could see into the future and there was no room for anyone like you?
The world today, this following word of the first living, breathing clone of an adult mammal. It's a cloned sheep, an exact copy made by a combination of genetics, biology, and technology. This opens a wild and woolly world of possibilities, including future human clones. From Scotland and England, correspondent Vicky Mabry picks up the story of an unforgettable you.
A brave new world has arrived with the debut of Dolly, a seven-month-old lamb. She is the first clone of another adult mammal, says Dr. Alan Coleman, a scientist whose company partially funded the research that made Dolly possible.
She is actually genetically identical to her mother. So you could say she has a mother, but she doesn't have a father. She has grandparents, but just two.
In a way, Dolly has several mothers. She was created by combining a cell from one sheep and an unfertilized egg stripped of all genetic material, its DNA, from another sheep. The egg and the cell were fused, then implanted into a surrogate mother. 5 months later, Dolly was born, an exact genetic replica of the sheep that donated the cell. For years, scientists thought it was impossible to clone an adult mammal. Now that it's been done, they realize it may have enormous potential for medical research. Animals could be cloned with human diseases and new therapies tested on them. Dr. Ian Wilmot led the team that cloned Dolly.
That it will help us to bring forward new healthcare products, and it'll help us to study genetic diseases in humans, like, for instance, cystic fibrosis, for which we don't have treatments at the present time.
Animal cloning also may be used to engineer blood clotting treatments in animals to be given to human hemophiliacs, and to develop super breeds, animals that are disease resistant, or dairy cattle that produce huge quantities of milk.
I think that there will be animals making pharmaceutical proteins through this technology in 2 or 3 years. But of course, you know that after that, there's then a prolonged clinical test period, so it'll be a long time before these are in use.
The research is in its earliest stages. It took 300 attempts to even create Dolly. The work is slow and expensive, and the leap to humans is a long way off. But with Dolly, what was once science fiction is now fact. Vicky Mabry, CBS News, London.
This breakthrough in cloning opens up a whole flock of legal, medical, and ethical questions. Anthony Mason has been looking into that.
What if you could recreate the perfect child, duplicate your favorite pet, make a mirror image of yourself?
Doug, your clone.
For decades, science said it was fiction, but a sheep has changed all that. Author Alan Folsom's recent bestseller, The Day After Tomorrow, imagined Hitler recreated from his frozen head.
Oh, of course you're surprised. You think of these things for a long time, but that it actually works, that's what's frightening.
We face the prospect of it being used to create a human child, or indeed lots of human children.
But they don't know.
Medical ethicists like this panel meeting in Washington today believed they wouldn't have to address this issue for decades. Now they can't avoid cloning.
Somebody may have an interest to say, you know, I love myself, but I would love to be able to live my life over again without all the problems I've faced.
What if you cloned yourself just to grow your own replacement organs in case you got sick? Consider the problem.
It's not as if you can just store somebody at age 7 with organs that are now just large enough for transplant, stop them from growing, and keep them there in a bottle on the shelf in case you need an organ at age 75.
Cloning is illegal in Britain, but there's no law against it here. And scientists acknowledge whatever the legal and moral obstacles, that if the technology exists, someone will try and use it.
Jim, there's some moral issues to deal with here. And first of all, I believe that science has gotten ahead of theology, and theology needs to catch up with what's going on. All scientists are doing is manipulating what God has already created. They're only duplicating, and cloning is a duplication of what God has done. They're not creating anything. There's no scientist today that can take dirt or mud and create life out of it. They're taking life and creating life. It has nothing to do with creation. They're manipulating what God has already done.
Okay, so that's our pastoral response to what we've heard up to this point, and we would love to hear from you, as always. Our phone number is 448-5061. The area code, if you're out of the area, is 1-330-448-5061. So it's obvious that this new found science, or the new awareness, is now upon us, and people are very concerned about what could be developed out of cloning. Now, we jumped into the genetic part of it, and maybe we went a little too far too fast. But I would love to get your response on what you think about. Many people have thought about the computer systems of our country, that is a good tool to be able to register everybody on the planet, log everything about them, and then put a code in place to where you're processed, just like we are when we go to our ATM cards, put our ATM cards in, and we have been signed numbers to go in and do business. So the question might be, have we already begun the marking process? Is something like the Social Security system. Could that be also the beginning, the forerunner of a marking process? Or, as I said, we have our Visa cards, our MasterCards, and the different means of doing business in the marketplace, and we accept those without any concerns. So what's the big deal if we're brought into a system where computers control everything about us? How could something like that possibly damn our soul eternally from the Lord? What's going to take place around that to create such a crisis for us? And so it's obvious that we have barcodes when we go into our marketplaces. As we go through where we run our products through the scanners, and on that scanner, it has numbers on it, and it dictates what the price and the value of the subject that we're purchasing is. And I understand that within the barcode, the number 666 is represented constantly. And I'm going to ask Pastor Gary if he'll come back and basically just give us a little insight on that. He looked that up this week and was studying it, and we're going to see how much he remembered about the barcode issue and the 666 that's involved with that.
Well, the scriptural basis for this, Jim, is found in Revelation, the 13th chapter 17, and 13, verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And it goes on in the 18th verse to say that what that number is, and it's 666. It's difficult to conceive of a world without cash. Instead of cash, there will be numbers. Europe, the European nations, are working feverishly to establish a new number system to take advantages of a cashless society. Here's just a few facts. 666, the Australian's national bank cards have on them 666. New credit cards in the United States are now being assigned the prefix 666. Olivetti computer systems use processing numbers beginning with 666. Central computers for Sears, JCPenney's, and Montgomery Ward. Prefix transactions with 666. They may say it's a coincidence, doesn't mean anything, but friends, the Bible prophesied this. I believe around 96 A.D., a couple thousand years ago, friends, it was prophesied that this would happen. Isn't this strange that now these things are beginning to unfold, and now we're seeing this prophecy fulfilled in our day and age? 666 is the number of his name.
Amen. So your response to that would be appreciated if you have a view on it. We have received one call while we were on the air, but we were in the middle of a clip, and we weren't able to get to the phone call live. But we basically were asked the question about, will a rapture take place before the mark has been implemented? And that's a big question, and that's a good question. This is something that we need to be concerned about and be ready to deal with. Whether we're here or not here, whether to live or to die, it needs to be done as unto the Lord. I want to talk about the number six a little bit from the genetic aspect of it. Pastor talked about the 666 that we have in the computer systems of our world now, that this number is showing up. We find out there are regions in this country alone, there are even highways that are associated with the underground bases that are reportedly out in Nevada, and the highway that runs up into that is 666. That was brought to us by Norio Hawakawa. He made us aware of the fact that as simple as it might sound, there is a highway out in Las Vegas, Nevada area that runs up into these underground facilities, and the highway's number is 666. So the number six is important. And it's obvious it's going to take wisdom, as John said, to understand what it means. And I want to read something for you as to what St. Augustine, who was on the earth around 400 A.D., what he had to say about it. And here's what he had to say. He said, let me start here. From the city of God, St. Augustine said this. He said, find my place. The city of God declares that the number six is respected as a perfect number. St. Augustine explains in the following from his book, The City of God. It is recorded that all God's works were completed in 6 days, the day being repeated six times. Because six is a perfect number, of course, no prolongation of time was necessary for God. He could have at once created all things and then let them measure time by their appropriate movements. Now listen closely, because one of the things I've found about some of these ancient writers is they had such clearness of thought that it makes my head hurt to try to follow them through their reasoning patterns. And you're going to find that to be the case as I read this, a short clip from the City of God. Listen to how this man thinks and how he deals with this topic of six. So I will continue. He could have at once created all things. It is the perfection of God's work that is signified by the number six. For this is the first number made up of aliquot parts, a sixth, a third, and a half, respectively one, two, and three, and they total six. So it's the first number in numbers that measures or comes to what St. Augustine calls the measure of a perfect number. And he continues, in this way of dealing with numbers, aliquots, parts, are those which are exactly divide the number. That is, they are fractions like a half, a third, a fourth, and so on, that have a whole number as a denominator. For example, four is part of the number nine, but it cannot for that reason be called an aliquot part, whereas one is since it is the ninth, and three is a third. Now this is hard to follow, I realize, but I got to illustrate this to bring this point home about the value of the number six. However, these last two parts, the ninth and the third, that is one and three, when added, are far from making the total nine. Now, I hope you understood what I just read. What he's basically saying was nine can't be divided with fractions and then take the fractions and add them up and come up with the number nine. And it said in the same way, four is a part of it because it is of one-tenth, which is five. But these three parts, the tenth, the fifth, and the half, that is one, two, and five, do not total ten, but 8. Again, the aliquot parts of 12 add up to more than 12. 1/12 of it is 1, 1/6, 2, 1/4, 3, and 1/3, 4. 1/2 is 6, and I think you got the idea. He's basically trying to show that there's a bunch of numbers that you cannot divide or do fractions on and get and use those numbers to add up. And so he's basically goes on down. He said, and 6 is the number of days in which God completed his work. Thus, we see that we should not underestimate the significance of the number, since in many passages of sacred scripture, numbers have a meaning for the conscientious interpreter. Not without reason has it been said in praise of God, thou hast ordered all things in measure and number and weight. Okay, accepting this as a possible truth. Understanding this, can we accept then that we can begin to see more clearly that what satanic influences hope to achieve by creating or developing or evolving mankind into a perfection of body, of soul, and of spirit. 666. At least perfect as far as man is concerned. And medical proofs will no doubt be present along with a marking system to identify it. So we have seen, Pastor Gary has illustrated, that computers could be used for a marking system that we will be forced into receiving. That may be part of the marking system. It may be the only marking system. But I have begun to believe, back in 1979 when I finished my manuscript, I felt strongly impressed at that time, and I believe by the Spirit of God, that genetic engineering is going to play a major role in marking people in the near future. We have a problem in our society today. We have chaos in many realms. The behavior of mankind is barbaric at best. Some very noble elite individuals have said that. Nobel elite people have said that. And I'll get a chance to quote that to you later if time permits. But they're basically saying we are barbaric. We now have the tools to go in and implant into the brain microchips that can receive download and create and modify behavior patterns. And as we process into the future, and the future becomes more dismal, and wars break out, and chaos breaks out, and a whole new structure is set up, this technology is going to come to the fore. Mankind has a spiritual need. The spiritual need is brought to remedy through the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ. I want to make this point before I forget it. The Apostle Paul said this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. He says, is the law then against the promises of God? He's arguing in behalf of grace and law. God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Paul said righteousness cannot come by the written law. I would go a step further with that, and maybe you might not agree with this step, but I would say there is no biological law that we can introduce on this planet today that's going to make us acceptable before Jesus Christ by modification of our own doing, to where we take God's creation and modify it. And we are capable now of taking genetic engineering, and we're peas are being genetically altered to bring forth what they consider a better product. We are genetically altering our cattle. We're genetically altering plant life in many fields and facets. And now the next step, logically, is to go into the human realm. And they've already experimented on monkeys and being able to duplicate. They duplicated Dolly. They duplicated monkeys already through genetic cloning process. And as the future comes and the crisis continues, when behavior is totally out of control, someone could step in and, through a modification process, download into our brain, if not through genetic engineering itself, where they actually introduce DNA and RNA into our bloodstream, and to where they actually alter behavior. They've already experimented on flies with alternating behavior patterns. Flies, a gentleman took a bunch of flies and put them into a tube, downloaded them into a chamber and put an odor in the chamber, and the flies would go across the bridge into this chamber and to pursue the odor. As they crossed the bridge, he would shoot them with electricity. Over 80% of them continued to go back through the shock to get to the odor. A friend of his developed a technique through genetic manipulation where he enhanced their memory capabilities, and they introduced us into the flies and put them back into the same process, and all of them remembered they didn't want to go that way anymore. They had a longer memory, and many people think that this is going to be used to help with things like Alzheimer's disease, that they can help people, and we would say, that's great, what's wrong with that? It is that mundane process of bringing us to a place to where we will accept genetic engineering on a greater scale, and that could lead to the mark of the beast. Now, I realize while I was reading that text to you from St. Augustine, it must have been hard to follow, but basically he says that the number 6 represents perfection. I'm implying here that perhaps genetic engineering, whether it be by introducing a foreign microchip or actually getting into the bloodstream and altering and introducing something that would change behavior modification. And whenever this cloning takes place in Revelations chapter 13 of the beast, they say they're going to turn and force this same mark upon everybody else, the mark that's put upon the beast. So take that into consideration. This has been very brief. There's tons of more stuff that I'd like to share with you, but Pastor Gary's got to come and bring biblical commentary. But remember this, genetic engineering could be one of the tools that's going to go along with the marking system of the computers that has the 666, and also the number 6 representing perfection, the perfection of the mark of man. Genetic engineering could represent perfect in body, soul, and spirit. 666. That's as far as mankind is concerned. The improvements, the enhancements may be there. Only time will tell. Pastor Gary.
The purpose of Bible prophecy is not for us to make a calendar of events or look for the number of somebody's name. It's been proven that using different methods, you can almost make anyone's name come out or fit the qualifications of 666. And recently on the radio, Barney's name came up, and they proved that he was the Antichrist, so to speak. Well, that's nonsense. We're not to look for the Antichrist. We're not to try to figure out the number of his name. The purpose of Bible prophecy is not for us to make a calendar, but to build character. We're to become more like Christ. Paul emphasized this fact in both of his Thessalonian letters, and our Lord warned us not to set dates for his coming in Matthew 24:36. Date setters are usually upsetters. And that is exactly what happened in the Thessalonian assembly. Someone had deceived the believers into thinking they were already living in the day of the Lord. The teaching probably first came through prophetic utterances in one of their meetings, and it was further enhanced by a letter claiming to come from Paul himself. The believers were instantly shaken by this teaching. We need to keep in the Word. We need to stay in the Word of God. Read the book of Revelation. Friends, do you know that there is an actual blessing that comes from specifically studying the book of Revelation, the end times events? It's coming. It's coming. The mark of the beast is real. We see that these things are in the works today. The computers today are growing diametrically. It's just expanding to the point where these things are going to happen. Whether it's by a tattoo on our hands, by a laser, or whether it's an actual computer chip that's injected, it's possible, and these things are about to be fulfilled.
Amen. We're going to go to a spot at this time, and they'll come right back, and we'll share some ways that you can get in contact with us and bring some closing remarks. So with that, we're going to go to this spot.
At key moments in history, God provides extraordinary spiritual insight meant to alert mankind to destructive forces engulfing his creation. We are now at that threshold in time where we can either respond to the warnings of God's wisdom or be drawn away by the lure of lying wonders spoken of in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Finally, here is a book that offers a timely and fascinating look into some of the strange happenings invading Christianity today. Bob Kaminsky, a Catholic charismatic, explores the trendy New Age paranormal experiences and UFO phenomena with a unique and in-depth insight into the consciousness event he calls the Luciferic Initiation. The old trickster Lucifer has left no stone unturned in the attempt to delude mankind into accepting that which is not supported by God's word. This book will inform the reader and challenge the many paths to God's teaching espoused by today's New Age proponents. In addition, you will see the importance of protecting your mind from the deceptive awareness and higher level consciousness experience. For a copy of Lying Wonders, send $10 to Jim Cunningham, Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio, 44403, shipping and handling included. Do it today. I wish we had 3 hours for every time we're on, because we just never really get a chance to get into everything that we bring with us. So I want to continue this by doing another piece of excerpt out of my manuscript. Now remember, I wrote this stuff back in 1979 and actually developed the process earlier than that. So these things about the mark of the beast and the things dealing with UFOs and the strong delusion, all of this stuff is coming to the fore now. So I really believe that God has been instrumental in raising the awareness in my heart on this issue, and he wants you to know that we're heading for a future that's going to challenge the Christian community like never before. Just to follow up on some of the genetic engineering potentials, I want to read again from a book that I read back in the 70s. You can probably find it in your library today. It's written by Jeremy Rifkin, who is a great researcher, a great watchdog, watches a great deal of things that are going on in the scientific community, not only in eugenics, but also in many fields. And he wrote a book called Who Should Play God? And in this, he communicates some of the information that you don't see in the press on Friday evening or Saturday morning. It just doesn't make press locally. And here's some of the stuff that this man dug out about individuals that have the power to bring different ideas and functions into play. So let me read this. It says, the new eugenics movement in America, like its predecessor 60 years ago, has an enthusiastic support of some of the most distinguished scientists alive. It is no trivial matter when scientists like the stature of Nobel laureate Sir Francis Crick, he was one of the guys that broke the DNA code, remarked, no newborn infant should be declared human until it has passed certain tests regarding its genetic endowment. And if it fails these tests, it should forfeit the right to live. Now, this is Nobel winner Sir Francis Crick. Him and a gentleman by the name of Watson are the ones that broke through the genetic code, the DNA code, and brought it out so we can now see the process evolving very quickly and where it's going to take us to. And he basically says no child should be allowed to live. They can actually go in now before the child is born and pull substance out and determine the genetic history of what that person's going to be, whether they're going to have bad heart, whether they've got diseases. If in some cases, they're naturally, they can fix that while the baby is still in the womb. So he just basically, that was a thought that he made on that. It says, Nobel laureate Linus Pauling has even suggested that there should be, listen to this, be tattooed on the forehead of every young person a symbol showing the person's genotype. If this were done, says Pauling, two young people carrying the same seriously defective gene in single dose would recognize the situation at first sight and would refrain from falling in love with one another. Pauling says that he favors legislation along these lines. Now, these are individuals you would say only insane people would talk that way. No, ladies and gentlemen, these are people that are in the forefront of developing these sciences, and they're going to do everything within their power. And their predecessors, their students, are going to do everything within their power to implement some of these ideas in the future. In looking for a statement that best sums up the new view of some of the scientists concerning the future of the role of the eugenics and genetic engineering, the words of geneticist James F. Danili, director of the Center for Theoretical Biology, Sunny at Buffalo, stands out. Danili argues that from the views of genetics, man is a barbarian, clad in the trappings of civilization in which he is still ill at ease and barely able to contend. Danili goes on to say that most men contribute little to civilization other than maintenance service, if that, and are consumers rather than originators of civilization. According to Danili, which with human genetics as it is, the possibility of improving the human condition by improving human institution and environment is at a time to consider other possibilities. If civilization is to persist and advance to a modest, stable state, the other possibilities, says Danili, lie in genetic engineering. And he continues, and he just goes on and says, it's going to start out and be done very mundanely. Says the one of the first things they're going to do is they're going to do artificial fertilization, next artificial implantation, in the future corporal gestation, and finally what is properly meant by genetic engineering, the production or better the biological manufacture of human beings to the desired specifications. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of time. We've got about 2 minutes left. With that, we're going to close. I want to let you know where you can write us. You can write us, or you can actually, we give you address on the book. It's Issues and Answers, A Biblical Perspective, Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio, 44403. If you want to contact us online, it's UFOSD at InfoNeline, InfoNeline.net. You can contact us with any statements or comments that you want to make concerning that. Next week, we're going to go back and we're going to rehearse everything that we've done up to this point. We're just going to have an open forum on everything from fallen angels, UFOs, New World Order, underground bases, genetic engineering, anything you want to talk about. We invite you to join us. Tell a friend. Call us and let us know what you think. We appreciate the call this evening. Call back and let us exchange ideas on these different things. We'll see you next week. God bless. Increase. Oh.